Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion at the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is May 26, 2014, or the ZIF 28, 2018. We will start our first service on this second day of the week with a song entitled, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Yahshua. I would love to tell you what I think of Yahshua, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he's changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Yahshua. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Oh, my life was full of sin when Yahshua found me. Oh, my heart was full of misery and woe. Yahshua placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Yahshua. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me. Well, someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Yahshua. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. We're on part 7 of the 144,000. We're on Shepherd God, Volume 1 by the V.T. Holifer on page 106. It says a Pharaoh, a type of leaders. First, let's defer to a prayer thought taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. So they brought the ark of the Elohim and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Yahweh. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Yahweh. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of Yahweh, and to record and to thank and praise Yahweh Elohim of the Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemarmoth, and Jehiel, and Mathaniah, and Eliab, and Benaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeel, with palstries and with harps, but Asaph made a sign with cymbals. Benaniah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with the trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of the Elohim. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Yahweh into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Yahweh. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Yahweh. Seek the Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Yahweh our Elohim. Or you can say he is the Yahshua our Savior. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. You can find that repeated in Psalms 105, verses 8, 9, and 10. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Well, you see what happens when people do this. That goes for anyone. That even goes for someone that's a servant of Yahweh that has the office of inspiration. He doesn't recognize another messenger that Yahweh sends to him. And he rails upon him and denounces him and curses him and put him out. Now that's who this is talking to. It says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, he reproved kings for their sake. Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my people, my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Yahweh all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Yahweh, and great is to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. Okay, but Yahweh made the heavens, and Yahshua is the co-creator of all things. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Yahweh, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it may not move, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Yahshua reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Yahshua. Because he cometh to judge the earth. Now the reason I'm putting Yahshua's name in there is because this is new to these people and back in the Old Testament. To have Yahshua introduced to them as their Savior and Creator, the one that's going to make a sacrifice for them in the future. They were being introduced to him since the Garden Gate. Yahshua is introduced to Adam and Eve. As their Redeemer, as their Savior. Yahshua said about then, working for Adam and Eve. We'll give thanks. Let's continue on. This is 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O Yahshua, of our salvation. And gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks unto thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Yahshua, our Savior of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said Amen and praise the Yahweh. Okay, praise the Father for sending his Son. And the Father and the Son has always worked together ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the of the Yahshua Aesop and his brethren to minister for the ark continually, as every day's work required. And who is the one that ministers at the ark itself? It's the high priest. And Yahshua being the high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, not here on earth, in the Old Testament. But nevertheless, that's who they were directing their worship to, and they worshiped around that Ark of the Covenant. They were worshiping the Father and the Son, the High Priest. And Obed-Edom, with their brethren, 80, Obed-Edom, also the son of Jeduthun and Hosah, to be porters. And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priest before the tabernacle of the Yahweh. This is the tabernacle of Yahweh in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offering unto the Yahweh upon the altar of the burnt offering continually morning and evening, and to do according unto all that is written in the law of the Yahweh which he commanded Israel. And with them Haman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by the name to give thanks unto the Yahweh, because his mercy endures forever. Now, the reason I bring the Father's name in here is because he represents his presence underneath the mercy seat in the most holy place. And with them Haman and Jeduthun with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sign, and with the musical instruments of the Elohim, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters. And all the people departed, every man into his house, and David returned to bless his house. So now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, Yahweh makes promises to David, and these promises are being fulfilled to us today, to this house of David, especially where we're at today, at Mount Zion at the 12th hour here in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Okay, now it came to pass. Listen, this is 1 Chronicles 17, verse 1. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house, that David said unto Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for Elohim is with thee. So now Yahweh is telling me today, and typical David, that Yahweh is with thee, and I've got a lot of things in my heart that I want to do for the building, for the raising up of this spiritual and typical temple. Verse 3, And it came to pass the same night that the word of Yahweh came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith Yahweh, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word unto any of the judges of Israel, of whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from the fallen of the sheep, that thou shouldst be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Okay, so now we have this antitypical everlasting kingdom of David that is being set up now. And all the men, the servants that come and rule in this temple, which would be the 144,000, most of what we're talking about, they're going to have a name, each one of them, that's going to be alongside the great men of the earth, and especially this antitypical Elijah that... I call it a generic term that is used in the scriptures for all people, all Christians to accept. And that's two parts of Yahweh's name, Eliyahu. But people, they tend to think of Elijah as an individual, as a mythical individual, really. And a lot of preachers of many denominations call him the antithetical Jesus. Anyway, so people, when they say Elijah is to come before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, they just say, well, that's Jesus coming before the great and dreadful day of his father, Yahweh. Well, we may find that that's a little bit different. It will turn out a little different than that here at its fulfillment. Let's go on. Verse 9. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. But in our day, that would be the children of wickedness would be the Adventist church. They have certainly wasted the people that represents the tribe Judah and the house of David. They have certainly wasted them and fought against them and been against them. But he says, I will ordain a place for my people Israel. Meaning that it will be an anointed place. It would be called a holy ground. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Yahweh will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. Well, the fact that he's raised me up, and the antithetical kingdom of David is being established now, so we are looking at the grand finale of this restoration of this eternal throne of David. Verse 12, 1 Chronicles 17. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. Now it's talking about Solomon's throne, which is upon the throne of David. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom. Now, who is Yahweh talking about? He's talking to David here. He's saying, I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. Who was before thee? King Saul. He was the people's choice to be the first king of Israel. And Yahweh let Samuel go and anoint him and establish his kingdom, and to tell him that if he'd be faithful and obey all of Yahweh's commandments and statutes and judgments, everything that he gives him to do, that he will establish his throne forever. But if he don't, he's going to take his mercy from him and give it to his neighbor, which is better than him, and that would be David. Let's go on, verse 14, 1 Chronicles 17. It says, but I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And David the king came and sat before the Yahweh and said, who am I, O Yahweh Elohim, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O Yahweh, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of the high degree, O Yahweh Elohim. What can David speak more unto thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant, O Yahweh, for thy servant's sake, and according unto thine own heart hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Yahweh, there is none like thee, neither is there any Elohim beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom Elohim went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Yahweh, becamest their Elohim. Therefore now, O Yahweh, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. That's why Yahweh has placed me in the position that I am occupying at this time, to be the voice and the spokesman for the house and typical house of David, mountain of the house of Yahweh, mentioned in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, establishing the top of the mountains. That's what he is doing with us. He's establishing us in the top of the mountains, right here in Liberty Hill, Texas, and it will flow out from here all over the world. Verse 24, let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, seeing the Yahweh of hosts is the Elohim of Israel, even an Elohim to Israel, and let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my Elohim, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him a house, therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Yahweh, thou art Elohim, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. Now David is asking Yahweh, he's sitting before Yahweh, he said, now that you are going to establish my house, says, let it be forever, before thee forever, and that means today. For thou blessest, O Yahweh, and it shall be blessed forever. So, Solomon dedicated that house after David's death. He built it, he dedicated it, and he established it forever because of Yahweh's blessing that he pronounced to David. And he honored David's request to bless that house forever. That's why we're an extension of that house of David right here where we're at. Well, that's pretty much takes care of our prayer thought. We're going to now go into our regular theme, taken from the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1. We're on page 106, and we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday with just a little review from our previous study. It says, Joseph was 30 years old when he became governor. Yahshua was 30 years of age when he anointed as Joseph married the daughter of an idolatrous priest, just so Yahshua marries his church, which is made up of the idolatrous nation. As Joseph gathered the corn in the 7 years of plenty into the storehouses to feed the world in the 7 years of the famine, just so Yahshua gathered the word of the Elohim in the Old Testament time into the great storehouse of Bible to feed the world in the New Testament time. One may say the New Testament came in A.D. True, but the New Testament is only the fulfillment of the Old. So now in the antitype, Yahshua has chosen the 12th hour to do his work of restoration with the house of David. And with the antitypical Elijah, he's working with that element today. And so, therefore, the Old Testament then had its influence clear up to 2002, because the Adventist church truly represented the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and they represented the Mount Edom, which Esau ruled over, the firstborn, and All that finally met its fulfillment up to 2002 through the Adventist Church. Now we're entering into the spiritual part of the harvest from what the Old Testament produced clear up to 2002 as a type. Okay. It says Pharaoh, type of the leaders. For the Pharaoh who honored Joseph is a perfect type of the earthly head of the Church of the Apostles. Had Pharaoh not been an Egyptian, it would have spoiled the type. Egypt, a symbol of the world, signifies an earthly leadership taken out of the world. Had not Pharaoh honored Joseph above every man in Egypt, or had he not commanded the Egyptians to go to As Joseph for coin, it would have spoiled the symbol of the church leadership in the days of the apostles, for they exalted and honored Yahshua above every man in the entire world. Also commend the Gentiles Yahshua as their life giver. If the first federal makes a perfect type of the church leadership in the days of the apostles, then we must accept the last federal, who knows not the Joseph, as a perfect type of the church leadership who have turned from following Yahshua their leader, volume 5, page 217. The church has turned back from following Yahshua her leader. Now, who was the church in charge in the 11th hour? Gilead Center. So this is the church he's talking about. The third feeding pastor of the Adventist Church, the third step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Advent. Okay. And is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Okay. So now, the church made its way all the way out of Egypt. The Adventist Church made its way all the way out by 1970. Prove that because Willis Johnson has restored and set up the sanctuary system like Moses did after he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt in his day. So we're talking about this prophecy now reaching up clear to Gilead Center and applying directly to Gilead Center. And Willis Johnson represents the antitypical Pharaoh that knew not Joseph and knew not his Messiah. Thus Israel, the true, the 144,000, became slaves under the Egyptian bondage, the sins in the world. So what did Brother Sean say in 1970? The voice spoke to him and said the 144,000 has been assigned to this movement. And he says when our movement is complete, then the 144,000 will appear. Okay. Well, let's see. Willis Johnson's movement has been completed. It's over with. And he's gone. He's dead in his grave. And we're still looking for the 144,000. So what does that tell you? The bondage in Egypt represents the bondage of sin. Okay. So by 2002, Willis Johnson had completed the trip back to Egypt. He came out. In 1970, out of Egypt, with the children of Israel, restored and set up the sanctuary system without any restriction, without any interference, without anybody opposing him, and did it freely, and put in operation, and then he alone self-destructed with the sanctuary system that he set up by apostatizing, and showing that he was his antitypical Pharaoh, and trying to hold the 144,000 in that prison house that was assigned to his movement. And the harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Yahshua, neither consider the operation of his hands. And you can go to Isaiah chapter 1, and it explains exactly the dealings of Gilead Center. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with the thirst. So Brother Shantz has been in charge of the kingdom, having the keys to the kingdom, to unlock that prison house, and to allow those 144,000 to come forth. He was given that first privilege. The firstborn is always given that privilege to be the progenitor of the righteous line, to raise up the foundation of many generations, and to be restored a past to dwell in. That was all given on the shoulders of Brother Cedric Johnson. And you'll find the prophecy for that also in Isaiah 22, 21 and 22. Let's go read it. Okay, let's actually read verse 20. It says, and it shall come to pass, in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Now this is a prophecy for Willis Johnson in 1970. I'm going to show you why. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Who had the key of David before Werner Johnson? It was V.T. Hardoff. V.T. Hardoff, when he died in 1955, it was passed on to Ben Roden, his successor. Okay, Ben Roden had himself crowned King David at Pentecost of 1970 at the time that the rod was closing out and Werner Johnson was succeeding him. So, who got the key of David? The key of David was laid upon his shoulder. Verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious stone to his father's house. Alright. So who was Werner Johnson? He's Antipater Esau, so who was his father's house? Edom. Okay. Verse 24, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of the flagon. And that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed. So that nail for Gilead's center is fastened in a sure place. But because of the unfaithfulness of the man that had the keys of David laid on his shoulder, it will be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Yahweh has spoken it. That met its fulfillment right there at Gilead Center, 2002. All right. Let's go ahead now with our study. We're on page 107, Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, where the subtitle is, Who is Israel by the Promise, actually? And I'll read the last sentence of the previous, what I just read. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. In other words, he's saying, Gilead's sinner has gone into captivity because they have no knowledge now. Since they have trampled the sanctuary underfoot, and Werner Johnson was the one that fulfilled Matthew 24:14, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitudes dried up with the thirst. Who's the multitude? The Seventh-day Adventist Church and all the Davidian world that Werner Johnson was responsible to break the truth of Elijah to before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. That's Isaiah 5:12-13. Matthew 24, let's read verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place at Gilead Center, starting at the Passover 2002, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea, we were in the desert, the wilderness of Judea, flee into the mountains. And we were the ones that left out and fled into the mountains of Judea, right here in the hill country where Yahweh has chosen to place his name now. He led us here. This is where we fled to. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Now to let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Well, we got everything ready. Yahweh gave us a year warning in 2002. We got everything ready, and we had everything packed and ready to go when he said it's time to go today. We were all ready. We were all lined up. And whenever he said today is the day, then everything was prepared, and he led us out of there. Okay. And it says, and woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, and neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, unto this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What days? The days for the fleshly, physical kingdom, the carnal kingdom of Israel, that the angel of the seventh candlestick was in charge of at Gilead Center. So, Werner Johnson had a 40-year period. actually allotted to his movement. But he was cut off after 33 years of it. Okay, Yahweh raised up the house of David, and this is where the 144,000 now will come and learn this new song that has been given to David to teach to the 144,000. Okay, it says, verse 23, then if any man shall say unto thee, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. In other words, for lo, here is the Messiah. Well, it just so happened that Brother Johnson rose up right there in 2002 and proclaimed that he was the antypical Messiah, that he's going to be coronated at the Passover of 2003. And that's the reason why he couldn't join us for our Passover, because he was going to be coronated and vindicated before our eyes, that he is the antypical Messiah himself. Because it says in Matthew 24, for there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So Verda Johnson paved the way then for these false messiahs now and these false prophets to come on the scene here in the 12th hour. He set the stage for that by announcing himself as the antypical Messiah, and that right there made him a false prophet. Okay, let us continue with our reading now. It says, we're on page 107 of Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1. Israel being a type of this Advent movement is not a new idea, just thought of in this lesson, for the whole denomination believes so. What we read in the Review and Herald of the October 10, 1929, for the following statement: while the Exodus movement was a great movement, the Second Advent movement will be still greater. Okay. Now, when does the Second Advent movement become great then? Here in the 12th hour. Okay. The three steps of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventists, yes, was a great movement, but it was only the prototype of the fleshly Israel from the type. It was an antitype. But whenever you're talking about this here, the fulfillment of Isaiah 11, that Isaiah 11 was not fulfilled to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Isaiah 11 is to be fulfilled in the 12th hour, to the antithetical kingdom of David. And let's go read now Isaiah 11. It says in Isaiah 11, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Okay, now, as we've proven that Brother Johnson ended up, by virtue of being pointed out as the angel of the seventh candlestick, the prophet to the Adventist church, makes him also the antitype of Jesse, the father of David. Okay. And David is the rod that come out of the stem of Jesse. Okay, and that's when the rod was, the David the rod was born in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Came out of Gilead Center. And a branch, which is Yahshua, shall grow out of David's roots. Okay. Verse 2, and the spirit of the Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh. So who is this? This is antitypical David. And shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, Yahshua used David in the type to go into the camp of Israel, into the army of Israel, run by King Saul, and to deliver Israel from the visible presence of the enemy with his leader Goliath. David literally went in there and smote the leader of of their enemies. And then Israel, army of King Saul, fell and helped David then rout the armies of the Philistines. Okay? So David literally smote the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. What did he tell Goliath before he slew him? He said, I'm going to have your head today, and I'm going to give your carcass to the birds, in other words. And as soon as David made that pronouncement, he set about doing it. What did Goliath tell David before that? He said, I'm going to slay you and give your carcass to the birds. But you see, whose judgment then was true? David's judgment was true. Same way today. Rollis Johnson says he's going to condemn me and wrote me a letter and said that I'd been cast out in a lot of darkness and that I had no hope for the future, that I was eternally lost. He pronounced a death sentence upon me. I turned around, I said, I reject that, that's all a bunch of lies, I'm going to turn it back upon his own head. It will happen to him instead of me. And what happened? It happened to him instead of me. That's what I'm talking about. Whose judgment stands? Okay. So it says in Isaiah 11 verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This is literally to meet its fulfillment here in the 12th parabolic hour, here in the everlasting kingdom of David here. This is to meet its fulfillment. You can already see that Yahweh is making a covenant with between the animals, between themselves here in the world. Okay. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. Okay, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And what's that root of Jesse? That's the purified kingdom of David. That's the root of Jesse. Unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So why are we called to set up this purified kingdom of David? Because the Gentiles are going to seek, and his rest is going to be glory. Okay, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Petros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Sinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Now, isn't this amazing? That the 144,000 was assigned to the Advent movement in 1844. First vision Ellen G. White had was on the 144,000 being assigned to the spiritual Israel of today. They were to come through the ranks and the three feeding pastures of the Adventist Church. Okay. And so Ellen G. White announced them, and that they were going to be the remnant, the end results of the Adventist Church. She wrote that in Volume 3 of the Testimonies, 266, 267. She said the closing work for the Adventist Church is sealing the 144,000. So, when did the closing work come? Come in 2002. Okay. So, he has set his hand a second time to recover the remnant of his people. And so, he processed them through the spiritual Israel of the day. He processed them through three feeding pastures. And now finally, when they came to the third feeding pasture at Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003, that last angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea, Antipater Esau, in charge of Mount Edom now, he is going to hold the 144,000 hostage and in bondage and in that prison house. He has the keys of David. But Yahshua came and removed those keys of David. And he gave them to the real antitypical David in 2002-2003. Anyway, in Isaiah 11:12, it says, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nation." This ensign is when Yahshua comes and sits upon the throne of David in the kingdom of David, this everlasting kingdom. He has his co-ruler visible, David, his antitypical David, and as Vitale said in Mount Zion at the 11th hour track, the number 8 track, he said, Yahshua the visible leader, invisible leader, and David the visible leader. He said, this makes up the ensign. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon the Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven stream, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt. Okay, so that highway then was opened up at Gilead Center 2002. He showed that highway was opened up to the Elijah David. And I have written a song pertaining to that as well, many years ago. It says, "The high and cast up way, on the winding path I'd like to stay until I reach over to the other side." It says, Israel being a type of this Advent movement is not a new idea. Just thought of in this lesson. For the whole denomination believes so, for we read in the Review and Herald of October 10, 1929, the following statement: "While the Exodus movement was a great movement, the Second Advent movement will be still greater." Okay. Elohim will take out a people not from one nation only, but from every nation under heaven. And he will lead them into the heavenly Canaan. Okay, now, what did Paul tell the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2? He said, you are dwelling in heavenly places, you see. And then in Colossians chapter 1, it says, you're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Your heavenly Canaan is the everlasting kingdom of David that sit up here on earth in these last days. Well, it says right there in Matthew 8:11, it says, many are going to come to the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, this heavenly Canaan is set up right here in this 12th hour. And this is where all of the patriarchs and so forth, the saved of all ages, are going to be resurrected and come and sit in this kingdom. It's called the heavenly Canaan. This Advent movement, of which the Exodus movement was a type, we believe it was foretold in prophecy in the following stirring language: "It shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. There shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, like as it was to Israel in the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt." Isaiah 11:16. I just read that to you. For the word type means the same as the word photograph. For the very first photo invented was called tintype. Thus we have the approval of the denomination that Israel, as the flesh, is a photograph of Israel by the promise, the 144,000. As Elohim called out Israel from the Egypt anciently, just so now, Elohim is calling his church out from the whirlings and wilderness to be a separate, peculiar people unto his honor and glory, This does not mean another movement, but it does mean that Elohim is to deal with the entire body, and those who escape are Israel, the 144,000. Well, the truth of the matter is that the 144,000 represents a new movement. The last movement, because the Adventist Church, they had the next to the last movement in Earth's history. But the last movement would be conducted in the 12th hour, where the Adventist Church, they had their movement, three steps of the genuine movement take place in the 10th and 11th parabolic hour. But, and they were that fourth group of laborers pointed out in Matthew 20, verse 5, that was called at the 9th hour. And the fifth group, which was called at the 11th hour, represents the workers of the house of David here in the 12th parabolic hour, in the harvest time, in the judgment of the living time, and with the 144,000. This is the eighth movement overall of Earth's history. And this is the house of David in the 12th hour. Okay. So it says, according to Review and Herald, May the 1st, 1930, every evil thing must be shaken from the movement. So it was in the Exodus movement, when there was sin among the people, the Yahweh did not give up that movement which he had brought out of Egypt and start another one. He did not call the believers out, but he shook unbelief out of the movement by the destruction causing their death. So this made its fulfillment at Gilead Center 2002. This is when he made his final move to shake out the last sinners in Zion. He purified it by setting aside from it every element that did belong with the movement that he was leading according to his promise. Okay, so Rhodes Johnson represents the last vestiges of the shaking out of the last part that had to do with the Great Advent movement of representing evilness. If the Exodus movement is a photograph of the truth, then the 430-year period connected with ancient Israel must be considered with the one now. Okay. Well, unfortunately, the end of the 430 years coming out of Egypt did not purify the church. They weren't purified at the end of the 430 years. They were purified later on. But the true purification came at the cross. When Yahweh came and personally set up the apostles and appointed them their kingdom of grace and appointed them a kingdom and had it sanctified and purified. Alright. It says, for the 430-year period of the sojourning and affliction with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, which dates with Abraham going out of Ur, coincides with our time from the Reformation by the Luther to the sealing of Israel by the promise, 144,000. Quoting Patriarchs and Prophets, page 760. The actual time spent in Egypt could have been only about 215 years. For the scripture says that the sojourn of the children of Israel was about 430 years. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ancestors of the Israelites, were sojourners in Canaan. Okay, the period of 430 years dates from the promise given to Abraham when he was commanded to leave Ur of the Chaldees. The 400 years of Genesis 15:13 dates from a later period. Notice that the period of 400 years is not only a time of sojourning, but of the affliction. This, according to the scriptures, must be reckoned from 30 years later, about the time when Ishmael, he that was born after flesh, persecuted Isaac that was born after the Spirit, Galatians 4:29. So here we have in our day the Adventists producing an antitypical Ishmael at Mount Carmel at the Shepherd Rod place in 1955. And his name was Ben Roden. So there's fleshly Israel then showing up and ruling over the house of Israel. Because Ben Roden, after V.T. Hall's death, became the number one ruler of Israel. and he was an typical Ishmael of the flesh. So you see where the Adventists always had fleshly leaders show up to take over the candlestick. And after Ben Roden's time, Roland Sonson, also another fleshly carnal leader, took over as antipical Esau. Had to have his part to play. And his time period had to be fulfilled. Okay? Paul, in Galatians 3:15-17, says that from the making of the covenant with Abraham to the giving of the law of Sinai, I was 430 years. From these scriptures, then, we are not to understand that the Israelites were in Egypt 400 years, see Exodus 12:40. According to this, the 430 years began with Abraham going out of Ur and ended with Mount Sinai. Consequently, we have to take the entire period into consideration, beginning with Abraham, which has a definite time of the certain existing condition. At the beginning of the 430 years, idolatry prevailed everywhere. Abraham alone was called out. Such is the spiritual condition that marked the beginning of the prophetic period in his type. Just so the beginning of the time of the duplicate or antitype must be marked with the time of the low spiritual condition. In the time of Martin Luther, we have the exact reproduction of Abraham's experience, for in Luther's time, spiritual darkness and idolatry prevailed everywhere. Abraham is a fitting figure of the Luther. Abraham was called of Elohim by the spoken word, Luther by the written word. Abraham is the father of the faith, so is Luther. The doctrine taught by Luther was the just shall live by the faith, and I'll add the rest of it, in the blood of Yeshua. If this is true, then the 430 years in our time began with Luther, about 1500 A.D. Luther discovered in the library of the University of Erfurt a Latin Bible and found to his no small delight that it contained more than the excerpts in the common use. Thus Elohim, by his word, called Luther out of the papal Rome. This brings the end of our study of this argument. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close this service now with a song. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua, my Savior, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not by the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Yahshua came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not by the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Yahshua has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.